Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Yud Gimel. We're beginning about 14, 15 lines down on the top of Yud Gimel, Omud Aleph, with another statement that is made in the name of Rav Chista, Amar Ravina Bar Shila. So we had one statement yesterday, so we bring down another statement. This is a style the Gemara often has it. Once you have one statement from an Amora that is not that frequently mentioned, we bring down other statements that Amora makes. So the Amar Rav Chista, Amar Ravina Bar Shila, he said the following halacha: Hane Mirarisa the Agma. This type of Mora, known as the Mora of the Agam, of the swamp, as Rashi calls this Chazeres Shel Agam. The Gemara in Pesachim told us five different types of species that are eligible to be used for Morah, the mitzvah of Morah on Pesach, and this has nothing to do with Sukkah, but it's, again, it's a statement that was made over the name of Ravina Bar Shila, so that's why it's brought down over here. And this Morah is a certain type of Morah that has a Shem Levi to it, has a attached name to it, such as the Morah of the Agam, as opposed to just plain Morah. So he tells us that this Morah, known as the Morah of the Agam, Arisa, the Agma, Adam Yotzei Behem Yidei Chavos BePesach. This is included in the din of Chazeres, of Morah, that one can fulfill the mitzvah of Morah eating on Pesach. More questions this. Meisvei, is this really true? After all, we have the following Mishnah in the Gai that tells us that when we're required to use an Ezo, various mitzvahs, Rashi tells us, wherever it says the word Ezov, that is part of the mitzvah, Kolhecha Dechsiv Ezov, Doris Lehochi. This din that this Mishnah in the Goyim tells us applies. For example, you have Ezov, you have the requirement to do the Paraduma, to dip the Ezov into the Paraduma waters, the ashes that you added the Paraduma water to, and then you sprinkle it on a person who's Tomei. So when you're using that Ezov, or in Mitzrayim, when they did the first Pesach in Mitzrayim, they had to dip the Ezov into the blood of the sed that they brought as the paraduma. You have to dip an Ezov into the blood of the birds of the Metzorah. So there are times when the Torah tells us that you have to use an Ezov. So this Mishnah in the Goyim tells us when it says Ezov, it means a Ezov without a Shem Levi, without any other word or adjective attached to it. So therefore, you must use a pure Ezov and not below Ezov Yovan, and not an Ezov that came from Greece, a Shem Levi, an adjective to it. Or you can't use velo Ezov Kolcholi. You can't use an Ezov that is like a blue-colored Ezov. The Mesoras Hashas tells us that this is a tseva, kamo kol, like a certain type of a dye, like a bluish dye. So you can't use an Ezov that is known as the Ezov Kolcholi. You likewise can't use the Ezov, velo Ezov Midbari, the desert Ezov. And likewise, velo Ezov Romi, and not an Ezov that comes from Rome. And velo Ezov Sheish Lo Shem Levi, or any other word that's used as an adjective to describe this Ezov. It must be a plain Ezov. So too, therefore, by Maror, when the Torah tells us that you have to use Maror, so it can't be Maror that is from the Agam, it should have been a plain Maror, and not with a Shem Levi, like Maror, so the Agama, so Kasha, on the statement of Rechista, on Ravina Bar Shila. So Rabbi says, no. Teretz number one is, Kol Shenishtana Shemo Kodim Matan Torah, Ubasa Torah Vikpida Alei, when the Torah gave us a description, for example, with Ezov, that you should bedavka use a Ezov that is a plain Ezov and not one with a Shem Levi. So, obviously the Torah is telling us that if there were other types of Ezov before Matan Torah that had this Shem Levi, so then you can't use them because the Torah was makbid not to include those by giving us just the plain name without the Shem Levi. So any other type of that species, for example, the Ezov Kochli, the Ezov Midbari, the Ezov Romi, the Ezov Yovan, any one of these other species that were known by that name before Matan Torah, the Torah is specifically going out of its way to tell you, don't use that. You must use a plain Ezov. B'yodua sheyesh lo shem levi. That's the girsa that we have. Others have the girsa. So yesh lo shem levi puzzle. Means the same thing, but it's telling us that the Torah was makbid to bedavka use the plain one without the modifying name, such as the Ezov of the different places that we just mentioned. However, the Hani, but by the Maror, Lo Nishtana Shmayu Kodim Matan Torah Klal. By Maror, there were no adjectives describing the different types of Maror before Matan Torah. So therefore, when the Torah says use Maror, it's not coming to exclude the Shem Levi. There were no Shem Levi's on the Maror beforehand. They only came about afterwards, and therefore the Torah wasn't makbid that you should use the Mara without a Shem Levi, because they didn't have the Shem Levi. The Mara Sad the Agama was not called that before Matan Torah. That's teretz number one from Abai. Teretz number two is from Rava. Rava Amar Hani Marisa. This Mara that we're referring to over here is Stomo Shmayu. It is in fact not a Shem Levi. It's not really known as the Marasa the Agama as an adjective telling us about this Mara. No, it's really called Marasa, plain Mara, which is what the Pasuk tells us that we're allowed to use. Bahai the Korilu Marasa the Agama. Why then does it refer to by Rav Chista Amar Ravina Barshila as Marasa the Agama? That's only because Mishum Dimishtachach Biagma. He's telling us where it's found, but that's not what it's called. It is found by the Agam, but Lav Davka, that it's known as Moroso the Agama. It's the same Moror any place where you have it. He was just stating that, by the way, you'll find this Moror by the Agam. Therefore, it's not a real Shem Levi, and therefore, this Teretz of Rabbah, the second Teretz overall, explains why the Moroso the Agama is allowed, even though it is. Possibly one might have thought that it's a Shem Levi. No, it's not really a Shem Levi. Now we have another statement from Rav Chista. Rav Chista tells us, Igid b'chad lo shmei egid. If you have a single object, so that's not considered binding it, like we mentioned yesterday, there's certain types of growths that grow that are naturally bound, and that is not considered egged. When you bind a single object, you're just binding it so, let's say, it doesn't curve up and won't fill in the space properly in the sukkah, so that's not considered egged. So you could use this as schach, even though we said that you're not allowed to use bundles for schach, this you'd be allowed to use, it's not considered a bundle. However, shalosh shmei egged. But if you have three of them, then that is egged. Now, there's two ways to understand this. The simple way to understand this is the way that it's read, that if you have a bundle of three, then it is considered a significant bundle, and it's no good. However, if you remember, yesterday we brought down from Tosos, the Tosos says that this is the halacha, that a bundle by definition is 25. So how would you understand this? So according to that Tosos, which is the halacha, so we need to understand it, so we're dealing here with one of these bundles that we said is naturally bundled. It has the same root, and there's lots of bundles that come off of it, lots of pieces that come off of it. So that by itself is not considered. That's eged, bechad, lo shmei eged. But when you have three of them, in other words, you have this, and then you add additional things to it, then you start counting each individual piece. So now you get up to 25. So if you have shalosh, and altogether you have 25 within this shalosh, so shmei eged, that is considered a significant bundle, the way Tosus brought down from the Yerushalmi, and therefore that would be also to be using it as schach, or when you need it to have something that's not bundled. But if you have only one of them, and then you add one to it, shnayim, that's a machlokes between Rav Yossi and Rabbanan. What is that? Because we learned in a Mishnah in Parah, and we're not going to quote the entire Mishnah, we're only going to quote part of it over here, mitzvahs ezov shlosha klochen, that the mitzvah, when you're doing for the paraduma, and you have the ezov, and you have to have it bundled together, so you have to have at least three. That is the mitzvah. And each of them, ubahem shlosha giv olim, each of them has three stems that come off of it, and these three, so you have a total of three, one for each one. There are other opinions that are brought down in the Mishnah part that we're not quoting here that say each one had three on it, and it's a total of three times three. But our simple understanding, our Gemara over here, is just mentioning the opinion that says that you need to have three of these azos, and each of them has components to it, but each of them only has one stem to it. And that is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Omer, mitzvah ezov shlosha givolim. He says, the mitzvah is shlosha givolim. You need to have three of these givolim, three of these stems as part of your bundle of the ezov. But as you're doing this, some of it's going to fall off. And as long as you're left ushiyar of shnayim, as long as you're still doing two, when you're doing the putting on of the paraduma water onto somebody who's tummy mace, so as long as there's shiyar of shnayim, as long as there's two to the left, it's fine. And furthermore, the gardum of kolshu. As you keep on doing this, Rashi tells us, kishamazim bo pomim harbe mitoshi gavol of rachim mishtabrim. As you keep on doing this and doing this and doing this, since it's very soft, the pieces of this ezov are going to fall off. And as long as you have the kolshu hamishtayer biaguda kolshu, as long as there's something left from the stem, that is fine. The minimal amount that you have to have, which he says, you started off with three, even if one is totally lost, as long as you have two left, and of those two, you even have just Gardumov, you just have a little bit left, that is still considered an Azov. That is still considered Agudas Azov, and that would be fine. Now, we seem to say over here that the Tanakhama says that you need three, whereas Rav Yossi said it's a mitzvah to have three, but as long as you have two, you're fine. Now, let's understand this. We wanted to first suggest, Kosol Kodaitin, the Midishiyar of Shnayim, that Rav Chista's understanding of Rav Yossi originally was that, according to Rav Yossi, you had to start off with three, but Shiyar of Shnayim, so that meant Tchiloso Nami Shnayim, that technically you only needed two even at the beginning. And he says three, V'haydik Tani Shlosha, that's the mitzvah, that it's, you know, want to do the mitzvah in its fullest extent, so then you should have three. But L'chatchila would be acceptable even if you took two at the start, and as long as you always had two, you're fine. This is Rav Chista's understanding of Rav Yossi. Based upon this, however, we have a problem. When we meet Rav Yossi, Shlosha L'mitzvah, from the fact that Rav Chista understood Rav Yossi, that you needed to have three only l'shem mitzvah, but two would be fine. That implies that the Rabbanan says that three are ma'akev. The Rabbanan, shlosh l'akev, the Tanakama, the Chachamim, must say that three are ma'akev. If you don't have all three, then it's ma'akev. But this is problematic, because that goes against the Braisa that we had. For Tanya, it says in this Braisa the exact opposite of what Rav Chista originally thought. And he said, Rav Yossi Omer, Ezov, Shetechiloso Shnayim, that's what the Bach adds over here, the word Shetechiloso. So the Ezo, that starts off with two, so Shiar of Echod, and you're left with one, so that is possible. That is no good. You need to have the Eino Kosher, actually Techiloso Shlosha, or Shiar of Shnayim. You need to start off with three, and then have left over two. So clearly from this Brisa, Rav Yossi says that you need to have three to start off with, and b'di'evet, two is good. So when we had this Mishnah in Parah telling us the Shita of Rav Yossi, the way Rav Chista understood it is wrong. The Braisa clearly tells us that Rav Yossi says you must have three. It's not just l'mitzvah, that is ma'akev. And as long as you have two, you're okay. B'di'evet, but you have to start off with three. So his understanding of the Mishnah in Parah was wrong. So he says, you're right, hey folks, switch it around. And in fact, that Rav Yossi's sheet is like, the Mishnah is like the Braisa. Rav Yossi, Shlosh L'Yakev, that you require three L'mitzvah, that means La'akev. And the Rabbanon, Shlosh L'mitzvah, and it's the Rabbanon, the Tanakama Shita and Parah, that is in fact saying that you should do three, that's L'mitzvah, but if you even start off with two, you're okay. That jives now with the Braisa, and that's the revised way the Rav Chista learned the Mishnah in Parah. And I'll show you that this is right. Here we have Votanya B'nichus, Rashi says here, as opposed to the first of all, Tanya, we said it's a kashif in the Braisa. Here I'll show you that it's a riot to this way of understanding Rav Yossi and the Tanakama, the Chachamim, in the Mishnah Parah is correct the way we just revised it. But Tanya, because it says, Ezo Shetechiloso Shnayim, again, we changed the word around to that the box tells us Shetechiloso Shnayim, an Ezo that starts off with two, Ushiar of Echad, and you're left with one, is kosher. Now, the Eino Possel, Achei Tchiloso, Vishor of Echad. And it will only be possible if it starts with one and you're left with one. Now, this is problematic because Shiar of Echad Possel, you're saying here that if you have left with one, it's no good. But you just said at the beginning of this Braisa, Ha'am is Shiar of Echad Kosher. You just said if you started off with two and then you're left with one, so then it is good. So how can it be that if you start off with two and then you're telling me you're left with one, it's good, and then you tell me a second later that it's not good? So the Brice is internally mutually contradictory. So we turn to your Gimel Amud Beis. Ela Ema, how must you understand this Brice? Achete Tchiloso Ke Shiarov Echad. That if you started off with one, which is acceptable, Ke Shiarov, when it's left over, so then that is no good. You can't start with one. So clearly you see that this Brice is saying that if you start off with two, you're okay, and if you're left with one, you're okay, so it's not Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi, we said, requires three. The way we understood Rav Yossi was he required three la'akev, and he said two is good. This Braisa says you require two, and one is okay, acceptable, b'di'evet. So clearly, this is not the opinion of Rav Yossi. And the only other sheet that we have is the Tanakama, the Chachamim. Must be that they hold the three is l'mitzvah, two is necessary l'chatchila, and one is b'di'evet. So therefore, these are the right understandings of Rav Yossi and the Tanakhama, according to Rav Chista. Now we have Doresh Mereimar. Mereimar learned the following. He says, Hani Isuriyasa Desura. Isriyasa Desura Rashi tells us are chavile konim, bundles of these reeds, shayu osim limkar b'shuk, that they would sell in the marketplace, or mokernos obiminion, they would sell them by number. You would buy a certain number of these reeds, and they bundle them together based upon this number. So there were 25 of them in this bundle. So this Isriyasa Desura misachin b'hu, you are allowed to use them even when they're bundles eschach. Why is that? Afogav the ogden, even though they're bundled, the only reason they were bundled is liminyona ba'almahu the akdam. That was just so you bought the right amount. So you knew that I need 25 of these, so they sell them in bundles of 25. But as Rashi points out, the ein bahem mishum gzeras otsar. There is no concern over here that we had mentioned in our Mishnah that if we allow you to use them as bundles, you may end up putting them on top of their of your sukkah, originally not l'shem sale, and then you'll leave it there. So we therefore don't allow you to use bundles at all. So why over here aren't we making that same concern? Why is there no Gezeres Otzer over here by this Isuriyasa de Surah? So Rashi says, because they never were used in their bundled form. Lefisha ein derech l'hatzniyam be'ogdom. Because these were being used for firewood, and they would want to dry them out, so they would never leave them in the bundles. So they would go, and immediately when you bought them, you had to buy 25 of them. You want to know, you're buying 25. But as soon as you got home, you would go and spread them out in order to dry them out. So nobody ever put them in bundles to dry out. So therefore, there is no concern, no havamina, that if you put it up on the top of your sukkah originally to dry out, and then you left it there in order to say, hey, I'll change my mind and use it as schach, there's no reason to make a gezerah, because nobody ever left it unbundled. And therefore, l'minyano ba'alma, Rashi says, agdinu, they only put it bundled so you know how many you have. Achi mochru, b'halochon le'yavshon, Matir Ogden, since the person who's buying it wants it to dry out, so he would untie it right away. Hilkoch, Hamasachi Pam Lashem Sukkah in Utsurk Lahati Ugden. So therefore, if you're putting it up there, Lashem Schach, so there you don't have to go and untie it, and it's actually good, Lashem Schach. That's what the drosha of Mereimar was. Amar Rabbi Abba, Hani Tzrife Durabani. What a Tzrife Durabani? Tzrif is like a teepee. Something that all the different material that's making up this teepee is bound together at the top, and it comes to a point, and at the bottom it's spread out, and it's held together by some sort of a rope. And that's what this Srife Duravani is. Rashi tells us, Asui mi anfei aravos, was made from willow aravos, the golden oson mi tachtov piv rochav, and they would go and put it together so it would be wide at the bottom, ulamala koshrin roshi hanitzorim, and at the top they were tied together, all very closely tied together. You can see pictures of this in the art scroll as well as in both the Pirush Chai and the Illustrated Gemara, and they would therefore have it like in this teepee-shaped form, and they would tie it at the bottom with a rope loosely, and at the top they would tie it more tightly, and this was in the shape of a certain type of a kli that they would use to go and trap fish. So the fish would come in through the wide end and they couldn't get out at the narrow end. And this structure was similar to this metsuda, this trap that they used to trap fish. And Abo ein bitzrif shlosha v'yarba bati ariga kamoshiyesh l'metsuda. But it didn't have so many wrappings at the bottom like you normally would have in a trap. In any event, this tzrife d'urbani, if you were to want to use this as a sukkah, Kivan Shuhutra Roshi Madanim Shalahem Shem. If you wanted to go and use this as chach, so you could, you just had to go and undo the binding at the top, at the pointy point, and it would be good for schach, even though it's bound at the bottom end loosely with this rope. Shmuel says, wait a second, it's bound, and we just have learned that you're not allowed to use bound things because of the Kzeres Otsar. So Amar Rav Papa, no, the Sharilu, because you undid it. Rav Papa says you undid the binding, not only at the top, but also at the bottom. As Rashi says, you will matir roshei hachut shukoluabo. You would undo the binding at the bottom by untying it, but you didn't have to necessarily undo it totally, so it was left still around the bottom. You don't have to totally remove over here the binding, you just had to untie it. So therefore, it was untied at both the top and at the bottom, and that's why Rav Papa says it's good, because it's not really all good, there's no concern therefore for Gzeres Otzer. Now, the gear that we have is, you say, v'omar, but the Masor Sashash changes it around to that this is a second answer, so therefore, whenever you're giving a second teretz, you start off with the name of the person, and you say Omar at the end. If you're commenting on the first teretz, then you would say v'omar, and so-and-so said about that. So here, the more correct gear should be Rav Huna, Brei, Rav Yeshua, Amar. So we have a second teretz over here from Rav Huna ben Yehoshua. How to explain why this tzrife durabani, if you undip only the top, it's good. So he explained it as follows. I feel the lo shor lo. No, you didn't even have to undo the binding at the bottom. But the binding at the bottom was very, very loose. Called eget she'eno asur l'taltelo lo shmei eget. And all this did was hold it somewhat in place. If you were to, in fact, try to pick it up from this egget, it would all fall apart. So the bottom egget was a very, very loose type of a binding, and therefore, since you couldn't pick it up, it wasn't eno osui letaltalo, therefore, lo shmei egget, it's not considered a significant binding, and the hogzeris otzer wouldn't apply in this situation. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Abba said the name of Shmuel, Yerokko she'amru chachamim odom yosef b'emidecha vosem b'pesach. Any of the different vegetables, the yirokos, that are able to be used to fulfill your mitzvah of eating mara on Pesach. So he tells us a din regarding tumah and tara. So he tells us, mevi'in es ha-tumah. There is a din that if you are holding something that is a tefach wide, and on one end of this growth, you have tumas mace underneath it, and on the other end, you have some vegetable underneath it. So by being mahil with this growth, over both ends, over the tumas meis, and then over something that could be makabel tumah, you are transmitting the tumah via this ohel, your mahil on both the tumas meis and over this produce that could accept tumah. So therefore, mevi in esa tumah. This type of a vegetable that you can be yotze, the mitzvah of mora with on Pesach, has the ability to be considered something, if it's at least the tefach wide, that can bring the tumah. In other words, it can be mahil over the tumah and over something else, and it's as if they're both underneath the same roof. However, bein chotzitzim b'pnei tumah. Now here we'll have a problem. It seems to be internally, mutually contradictory. If normally something is mevi'in es ha-tumah, so then it would also block the tumah from going through this. So if you have something that is able to be an ohel over something, so normally it will stop tumah from going through it. The tumah will not be bokas. It won't be able to go through it. However, here, because it is a very flimsy type of a growth, so therefore, ein chotzesim ibnei tumah. It will not act as a chatzitza. It will not act as a stoppage of the tumah from going right through it. And if there would be, let's say, something that could be makabel tumah above this, so if it had been a sturdy beam, so then the item above it would not become tummy. But since it's a relatively flimsy type of growth, so therefore, ein chotis b'nei tumah, and the tumah would go right through this growth and be matame, the item that you have above this growth. Uposlin basuka mishum avir. And likewise, since this growth can accept tumah itself, so it isn't valid as schach. Now, normally it would be considered posel as schach. Now, the din of posel as schach, which we haven't really learned, we've maybe alluded to it, but we haven't learned it fully, is that posel as schach is going to ruin the sukkah if you have a space of arba tvachim. Whereas an open space in the schach ruins it if you have less, if you have three tvachim. Paradoxically, posel as schach is not as bad as an open space. So therefore, he's telling us that this posel as schach, this growth, isn't treated like posel as schach, but it's treated as avir. How come? Why? It's posel as schach. Shouldn't it have the din of four tvachim to ruin the sukkah? Why do we say it ruins it if there's three tvachim of it? My time, so the Gemara tells us, kivan delechi yavshe, parche v'nofli, since if it dries up, it's going to crumble and fall apart and come down. So therefore, we view it already, omed ligzos kigozos domi. We have a principle that if something is going to be cut off, we view it already as being cut off. So if this type of a schach is going to dry up and fall down, so then we view it already as if it's dried up and fallen down. And therefore, we consider it like avir, like an open space, and not like posel schach. Keman deles nu domi. We consider it as if it's not there already right now, even though physically it's there and physically it's not yet dried up and crumbly. So therefore, since it will dry up and become crumbly during the 7 days of Sukkos, so therefore, right now we already consider it such, and therefore it is considered like open airspace, and it's going to parcel the sukkah if there's a space of three tvachim and not parcel it if you have a space of four tvachim only, as it would be if it was really parcel a srach. Once we had the statement from Rabbi Abba, we have another statement from Rabbi Abba. Omer Rabbi Abba, Omer Rav Huna, Rabbi Abba says the name of Rav Huna. We'll have another opinion named Rav Huna that will contrast with this. So the first opinion is Rabbi Abba in the name of Rav Huna, Habotzer Lagas, when somebody goes and collects grapes. Botzer is harvesting grapes for the wine press to go and crush the grapes and make wine out of them. So Ein Lo Yodos. So the pieces of wood that are holding on to the cluster of grapes, the branches, so the vine, that is not considered a handle. Normally, we have a din that something that is a yad, a handle for food, can also be metame the food if the handle becomes tame, because the handle, this branch, is functioning to serve the food, and therefore it is considered part of the food in terms of tumah and tara. So even though you didn't touch the fruit, the grape, over here with the item that's tame, if you just touched the handle under normal circumstances, that would be metame the grape as well. But here, you're putting the grapes into the wine press. The last thing you want to do is put into the wine press anything other than grapes, because you're going to get pieces of wood inside the wine, and that's not something that you want. That's going to ruin the wine. It's going to absorb the wine. It's going to make it give you a bad taste. So therefore, when your boats are lagas, Rabbi Abba Omer Rav Huna tells us, if you're collecting these grapes for the purpose of squeezing them out into wine, so then we don't halachically view them as having handles, ein lo yodos, because you don't want those pieces of wood to be there. You don't want that vine to be there. That's what Rabbi Abba said in Rav Huna. The Rav Menashe Bar Gada Omer Rav Huna, a similar statement was made by Rav Menashe Bar Gada in the name of Rav Huna, that hakotzer l'schach, if somebody is cutting off tvua, grain, for the purposes of making it into schach, so also over here, ein lo yodos, we don't consider it that it has a yad to it. In other words, it is kosher schach, and we don't say it's a yad to the grain, which is parcel schach, because the grain is a food item and could be mekamel tumah. So here, somewhat paradoxically, you have the grain being subordinate to the handle, and therefore the handle is not a handle for the grain. You want it a schach. You are kotzer l'schach. So Rav Menashe Bar Gada, Omer Rav Huna says, if your purpose in cutting off this grain was to use it as schach, so the grain is a small amount, it's a very small percentage. Normally, the grain is the critical part, and therefore the rest of the stalk is a handle for the grain when you're using it for making it into bread. And therefore, the whole thing would become tummy. And therefore, it wouldn't be kosher for schach, because anything that's kabel tumah is not kosher l'schach. But here, the handle is what you want, and you cut it specifically for the handle. So hakotzer l'schach, we ignore the little bit of grain that's there, and we don't consider the handle, the stalk, as being something that can be makabel tumah. And therefore, he says that hakotzer l'schach ein lo yodos. We don't consider this to be something that can be makabel tumah. So each of them said something about a handle. Rav Abba said in the name of Huna that the vine that is attached to the grape is actually a negative, and therefore it's not a yad. You don't want it there. And similarly, Rav Menashe Bar Gada said in the name of Huna that the stalk of the grain is not considered a handle, because you don't want the grain, because the grain is makabel tumah, and you just want the stalk to be for schach. So they're two similar statements, but not exactly the same, and the Gemara now compares the two and says, man di omar kotzer, according to Rav Menashe Bar Gada, who says that this din applies, that it's not a handle, even in regards to the schach, we don't consider the grain so important there, so he certainly, kol shekein botzer, he certainly would agree with Rabbi Abba's din, that the vine is not considered a handle for the grape, because if you think that you don't want the grain, that the handle here is the critical part, the stalk is the critical part for the schach, so certainly in regards to the wine press, you absolutely don't want the vine. So Rav Menashe Bar Gada agrees with the din of Rabbi Abba Amar Rav Huna. So the second opinion certainly agrees with the first opinion, because the lo nichale, the lo nimse lichamre, you certainly don't want that vine there, because it's going to suck up some of the water. That's the word nimtsaye, that it will absorb some of the wine, which is the last thing that you want. You want to have as much wine as possible. However, who says that Rabbi Abba necessarily agrees with Rabbi Menashe Bar Gada? Mandyam abotzer shein lo yodos, according to Rabbi Abba Amar Rav Huna, that if you go and want to collect the grapes over here, harvest them for the purpose of squeezing them, you certainly don't want the handles. That's clear. However, that may not be true. In the second case, avol kotzer, if somebody's kotzer l'schach, yesh lo yodos, you do have handles over there, because guess what? You actually get some benefit out of the grain that's at the other end of this stalk. What is that? Avokotza Yeshlo Yodos. We do consider it as a yad to the grain, and therefore it would be no good for schach, because the nichole the lisachik bahu kihechi the lolivadron, because that grain at the end serves a purpose. It should not allow it to separate. This is the way Rashi understands it. Heche delo libadron, it means that by having that there, the wind won't blow it away so easily. It arranges it better. It allows it to stay in one place without being blown all about. Now, Tosos says a slightly different interpretation. Looking at Tosos, Dibra Masu delo libdon, he says, Pirusha Kudris, Shin Yad de Rosh Shibolim in Hakashin, if the heads of the stalks were to be separated from the grain, so then it would spread out. Yispardu, like I said, the Elchalibun, and it would go to waste. But Tosa says, V'yesh b'farshim sheich yachbidu, that the extra weight over here holds it down. So Rosh Yishibolin alakashin, the extra weight that the grain applies over here keeps the wind from blowing it away. V'lo yispardu akashin me'alasukah beruach, and the wind won't blow it away. In any event, according to Rabbi Abba, only by the boats or lagas do you absolutely not want the vine, and therefore it's not a yad. But in the case of the kotzer l'schach, you do have some benefit from the grain versus the schach, and therefore he might disagree with Rabbi Nasha and say that in fact that would be a yad, and since it's a yad to an ochel, it wouldn't be allowed to be used for schach. So this machlok is between Rav Menashe Bar Gada and Rabbi Abba. Let us, the Gemara says now, let us say that this is a machlokas tanoim. Name of the Rav Menashe Bar Gada tanoihi. Do we or do we not all agree on this opinion of Rav Menashe Bar Gada? We seem to suggest that Rabbi Abba doesn't necessarily agree with it. So therefore, let us say this is a machlokas between Rav Abba and Rav Menashe Bar Gada is actually a machlokas tanoim. Where is that? It says in the following brisa, the Tanya. Soche te'enim. If a person has branches that have figs on them, ubahem te'enim. You have fig branches with figs on them. Or parkilim, if you have a vine, ubahem anovim, and the vine has grapes on it. Or you have kashin, you have straw, ubahem shibol, and has some of the grain on it. Or machbados, you have palm fronds, ubahem tamarim, and they have the dates on them. In all of these situations, you have the vine or the wood or the stalk, and you have the fruit on it, or the grain on it, in all of them, kulon, im psolis merubo ala ochlin ksheira. If you have more of the psolis, more of the part that's not the fruit, more of the part that you could use as schach, so then it is perfectly good. Im psolis merubo ala ochlin ksheira, it is perfectly good to use it as schach, because the food is the inferior, smaller amount, and it's subordinate to the kosher eschach. However, v'yim lav, if you have more of the fruit, so then psula, then it's no good, because it's something that's makabel tumah. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama in this brisa. The acherim omrim, acherim is normally Rav Meir, acherim omrim, achu kashin merubin ala yodos ve'ala ochlin. You have to have the straw, or the wood, the branches, the vine, etc. It has the meruba not only on the ochlin, but also on the yad of the ochlin. Then, and only then, is it good for schach. So therefore, the Tanakhama doesn't consider the yad to be important over here, whereas the Acherim, Rav Meir, does consider the yad to be important. So let us say this is exactly the machlokes between Rav Abba and Rav Menashe Bar Gada. My love, b'hokam iflagi. The Maharis Savar Yeshla and Yodos. The Acherim consider the yad to be part of the ochel, and therefore you have to have more of the stalk or the wood than both of them, not only the food, the grain or the fruit, but also the yad. Whereas Umar Sava, the Tanakhama, holds Elam Yodos. We don't consider those Yodos to be significant because they're not really serving anything for the food. You want to use this as schach. So therefore, L'Rabbi Abba Vade Tenoihi. The only way Rabbi Abba could be understood is to say that this is a machlokas. He personally holds like the opinion of the Acherim, because he holds that in the case of the grain, the way we understood the machlokas, the Rabbi Abba doesn't agree with Rabbi Menashe Bar Gada, so therefore he holds that it does have a yad, and therefore he holds like the Acherim, as opposed to the Tanakhama, who clearly doesn't hold like him. So according to Rabbi Abba, you must say that there's a machlokas over here. However, the Rabbi Menashe Bar Gada, Milei Matanoihi, maybe Rabbi Menashe Bar Gada could hold like the Acherim as well. He doesn't have to only be locked into holding like the Chachamim. And that's what Rabbi Nasha would say. Amalach Rabbi Nasha Bagada, the Kuli Amos Sabre Hakotzel Ischach Eliyodos. In fact, everybody holds like me that there isn't a yad over here. So then what are they arguing about? What are the Acherim and the Tanakhama arguing about? V'och Mayaskinon, Kigon Shekotzel Sol Achila. He originally cut them for the purposes of Achila. And therefore, there is a yad in regards to Achila. And the only question is, V'nim Lach Alein Lesichuch. And he changed his mind. So now, the Tanakhama says that if you change your mind, that's good. And therefore, it doesn't have a yad. However, the Acherim would say that it was originally cut l'shem achila, so therefore it retains its name of a yad. So therefore, according to Rav Menashe Agada, you don't have to say that this is a machlokas tanoim. He says, I can hold like both of them. As opposed to Rabbi Abba, that has to say that this is a machlokas tanoim between Achayim and Tanakama, parallels the machlokas that he has with Rav Menashe Bar Gada. More questions, and says, really? If you're telling me that the answer is that when you cut them originally, shame achila, so it can, according to one opinion, retain its shame liachila, but according to the other opinion, it loses its shame liachila. So wait a second. Why would the Rabbanan say that it loses its shame of achila? What action did he do to remove it from having that shame liachila? Ah, you're going to tell me, v'chitemo kasavi Rabbanan, kivin denim lachaleim l'sichok, bot le machshavto. It's enough to just have a machshava, and you don't need to do a ma'isa? That's not correct. Umi bot le machshava b'hochi. Can a machshava remove another machshava? No. Only a ma'isa can remove a machshava. Once you've designated something with a machshava, so you can't undesignate it with another machshava. You have to do a ma'isa to undesignate it. And everybody agrees to that. Umi bot le machshava b'hochi. But none. We learned in the Mishnah Kalim, kol ha-kalim, and we turn to Yudalad Amud Aleph, Kol HaKelim, all utensils, yardim lidei tumah b'machshava. You can designate them to be a keli just by machshava. Let's say it wasn't finished in the form that you wanted it originally to be, but you change your mind and you use it in this other form. So it is considered acceptable in this form. Somebody has a leather hide. So he wasn't going to use it as a mat. He was going to make it into a jacket. And middle of the process, he says, you know what, I need it as a mat. And he just says, I'm going to make it into a mat. Now it's a mat and it can be accepting tumah. It's a kli. So yardim lidei tumah b'machshava, you can designate them as a kli with just a machshava. However, if he then changes his mind and says, no, I think I'm going to make it into a jacket, then olin mi tumason ella b'shinu maisa. You can't say, well, now it's unfinished, and therefore it's not makabel tumah because it's not yet a jacket. No, you have to do a maisa to it. You have to start cutting it in some way and do a maisa to it in order to remove it from the state of being a kli and being able to accept tumah, to undo it from being a kli, and now it's just a step in the processing, and it's not yet a kli, and it can't accept tumah. Then olin mi tumason ella b'shinu maisa. You have to actually do a maisa. So therefore, everybody holds ma'isa motzi miyad ma'isa miyad machshava. If you do another action, that can change an action that you did, or it can change a machshava that you did in regards to designating something as a kli and now undesignating it by doing a ma'isa to it. So even if you had physically done a ma'isa to it originally, and certainly if you had a machshava to it, you can undo that by doing another ma'isa to it. However, machshava, just by saying, oh, I think I'm going to go and now use it for a jacket, and therefore I'm undoing in my mind, just with a machshava, the fact that it's a kli, machshava ain't a mutziya, lo midei ma'isa, certainly not from a ma'isa, however, lo miyad machshava, not even from a machshava. So therefore, how can you tell me that the machlokis here between the Tanakam and the Acherim is that it was originally cut l'shem food, and now in your mind you said, no, I'm now doing it l'shem schach. You didn't do any sort of a ma'isa. So how can the undoing of it l'shem achila, in other words, it was a yad, be undone by you just having a machshava? So that can't be right. And Moshe says, ah, you're going to tell me, v'chitema, hanimi l'kelim d'chashivi, that only applies to kelim. So a keli can't be undone, but the yad could be undone. And here we're talking about the yad. Avo yodos l'tzorech achila ninu, b'machshava nase, b'machshava salka. They're only subordinate over here to the food. So if you have it as a food, so then it serves as a handle. But once you say that it's not a food, maybe b'machshava nase or b'machshava salka. Since it's not the ikar item itself, it's only the handle, maybe the rule is by handles it's different. You're right. By a food or by a kli, so then you must in fact have a real ma'isa to undo a machshava. But here, maybe by a yad you don't need to. So that's what you want to suggest, but that's not true. But not, because we learn the Mishnah in Uktzin, it says, Kol yodos ha'ochlin shebisosin bagorin tohoros. If you have a handle, right? Uktzin is all about dealing with tumah and tara, and one of the main things it deals with is handles. So all of these handles of food, shebisosin, besosin means that you break it up. Rashi says, Hai besosin, hainu shehetir ogdun shel omrim, losho misbosesis b'domayah, Miskoleles, it rolls, you undo it. Klomar, kivon shehitir igdon, hashibolin mizgolin, since you've undone the bindings, those so these sheaves will roll in the gorin, lefi shenochin lispazir, they're much more easily going to spread out. Here's another explanation that means the same thing. That you're preparing it to go and thresh it. In other words, when you have these yadus of ochlin, the Mishnah Nuksin tells us that you untied them shebisasan begoren, so then now they're tahoros. They no longer are considered handles. Therefore, they're not makabel tuma. That's the Tanakama's opinion in this Mishnah Nuksin. Rav Yossi mitami. But Rav Yossi says no, they're still tame. We'll see in a moment why. Now, bishlam leman diyama bisasan hitirig don. So, according to the first opinion that we just brought down from the Tanakama, that besasa means, like Rashi explained, that you untied it, and hiter igudan, so then, shapir, there is no problem. Yes, here you have this untying it is not a real maisa, you didn't do anything to it, you just changed it a little bit, but that's not considered a maisa. So according to this opinion of besasan, so then a machshava for a yad could undo a machshava that you made it into a yad. So a machshava could undo a machshava. Shapir, according to this opinion, yes. But el leman diyamar mai besasan. But according to Rav Yossi, what does the besasan mean? Besasan doesn't mean to untie it. Besasan means besasan mamish, to actually break it, to crush it. So then, Michael Amemar, you clearly need a maisa to undo the machshava. So according to the Tanakama, okay, maybe you could argue that by yados a machshava could undo a machshava, but not according to Rav Yossi. Gemara says no. Hochanami she besasan mamish. No, here it means besasan mamish. Even the Tanakama says besasan doesn't mean that you just untied it. It means that you actually broke it. Or says yachi, maitamai de'acherim. So then, why would the acherim say that it doesn't go and lose the status of being a yad? If you're besasan mamish, so then everybody should say that a maisa undoes a machshava. So why would anybody say that it's not undoing it? So Gemara says no. The amur k'Rav Yossi, because in fact the acherim hold like Rav Yossi. What is that? The Tanan, Rav Yossi learned in the Mishnah that we just said, Rav Yossi mitame. Rav Yossi is mitame. And therefore, the Acherim hold like Rav Yossi, that even crushing it is not considered a significant enough maisa. So even if you want to say that the Chachamim, the Tanakama, that it's not untying it, it's besasan, that machshava is undone by besasan according to the Tanakama, but it's not undone by Rav Yossi, and the Acherim hold like Rav Yossi, that's not considered a significant enough maisa to undo even the machshava. While it sounds good, the Gemara questions this. Hi, Mike. What says, what are you talking about? Bishlom, Ahosom, time of the Rav Yossi. We understand in that Mishnah that Rav Yossi's opinion is that you have to actually besasan mamish. Chazil chedu Reb Shimon milakish. In other words, it is usable still, has to still be somewhat usable as a yad, because otherwise it certainly wouldn't be left to be makabel tuma. So chazil, it's still usable chedu Reb Shimon milakish, like Rish Lakish had said. What did Rish Lakish say? Dama Reb Shimon milakish. Hol rius lahovchon beasar. That you would be able to go and use a pitchfork to turn it over. So it still serves a function somewhat as a handle. That's why it's considered a handle. However, alahacha, in regards to using it for schach, l'may chazia, how would you use it at all for schach? So therefore, it should lose its status as a handle. So the two aren't comparable. Where it says, no, they are. Chazia l'chi sosar l'minkat l'hu b'gilayu. That no, having this crushed handle is still valuable. Because when you're undoing the sukkah, when you're taking it apart, l'sosar, so then you'll be able to grab onto it and pull off the entire thing at once, because it'll still be connected. So even though it's crushed, it won't really be usable in other ways, but it could still function as a handle to a certain extent, and therefore, that's why the opinion of Rav Yossi and the Acherim is that it still is considered a handle for the food. This would normally be a good break point over here already, a little bit down on the Daf Yudalad Omid Aleph already, but it's really all one inyan, so I'm going to continue when we get to the Mishnah. Gufa. Kol yados ha'ochlin shebisasan bagorin tahoros. We had just mentioned, gufa means we're going to repeat what we just said. Rashi points out that it's very unusual here in Dibur Maschil, Mishum Hochi, time of the Rav Yossi. He says, Mi shayach l'misne gufa kidigar sinon b'memros ha'amoroim. We normally use this term gufa when we're repeating an entire statement that the Amoroim said. Omamar, usually we're going to repeat only part of it, and gufa means we're going to repeat the whole thing. So it's a little bit unusual to say gufa in regards to repeating a Mishnah. So Rashi gives a very interesting answer. He says, "Amli Rebbe," says, "My Rebbe taught me, Mishum dahach Mishnah min ha-taharos. This Mishnah is from Seder Taharos. She'ein mehem shum gemara ba'olam. There is no gemara on Taharos. There are no Amoroyim making statements on Taharos. Ve'lo mefureshes kishar ha-mishnayis, and it's not as well explained as all the other Mishnayis are, because there is no gemara on it. Therefore, lefikach, noy geshas lomar gufa kedei lefarish. And therefore, the usage of the word gufa is appropriate over here, also." Very interesting. In any event, Gufo, we're going to repeat it. Kol yados ha'ochlin shebisosin bagorin tohoros. We said in the Mishnah that all of the yados of food, if you were to go and be besosin, again, we have the different interpretations of what besosin means, untied it, to smash it, in the gorin, they're all going to be tohoros. They no longer are considered yad, and therefore they're no longer considered capable of being makabel tuma. That was the Tanakama. For Rabbi Yossi Mitame, he says, no, even if it was besosin, it's still capable of being Mitame. My besosin, and what is the interpretation of besosin? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, besosin mamish, like we just explained, it means that it's actually totally crushed. But Rabbi, now the Gersa we have is Rabbi Eliezer, but the Mesorah Sashah says it should be Rabbi Elazar, Omer, he tir agdun. Like the first interpretation that we had, that it means he simply untied them. Now the Gemara says, Bishlomo l'Rabbi, again the year says Eliezer, but it should be Rabbi Elazar. Bishlomo l'Rabbi Elazar, the Omar Bisosan means he tir agdun, that it means he just untied it. Ah, hainu d'metami Rabbi Yossi. Now we understand why Rabbi Yossi says Yotami, because he says the act of untying is just a machshava, it's not a maisa. El Rabbi Yochan, the Omar Bisosan mamish, that it means actually Bisosan mamish, that he actually broke them, he smashed them. So my metami Rabbi Yossi, if there's nothing left, why is he metami it? So the Gemara says, this is where Rish Lakish said it. Amar Rishim Lakish, hol ruyus lahovchon biasar, since you could go and still use it with a pitchfork, so it's considered still functional as a yad. Again, this gufa was just a repetition of what we just said. Finally, we conclude over here with Divrei Agadata. Amar Rabbi Elazar, again, it should be, lama nimshalot tfilosin shal tzadikim kiasar. Why are the tfilos of a tzadik compared to a pitchfork? For example, it says, Vayatar Yitzchok, Yitzchok daven to Hashem, and it uses the lashon of asar, Vayatzar. So, Loma Nimshla Tilosan Shal Sadikim Ka Asar. Why are they compared to a pitchfork? So, Loma Loch, to teach us the following. Ma Asar Zemahapech Esatfua Bagoren Mimokom Lemokom. Just like this pitchfork, this asar, is used to go and move the tfua from one place in the Gorin to another place in the Gorin, so to Atfilosan Shal Sadikim. Mahfeches Daito Shalakodesh Baruchu Mimidas Achzorius. Lemidas Rachmanus. So too, the Tfilos of Tzadikim, they sort of say move HaKadosh Baruch Hu's opinion from that being one of a more cruel approach towards Klal Yisrael, Achzorius, a more difficult din for Klal Yisrael, and turns it into a more Midas Rachamim din for Klal Yisrael. So that's why the usage of Vayatar Yitzchak is a very appropriate expression. The Tfilos of Tzadikim are accomplishing the same thing like a pitchfork does with the grain, moving it from one place to another. They, so to say, kaviyocha, move HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the Midas HaDin to the Midas HaRachamim. With this, we conclude today's share.